from Luke chapter 21, verse 5 through 12. And this is, again, End Times Birth Pains. This is part two of our series. And I would, as it says in the scriptures, gird up your loins, because this message may be a little alarming to some of you today. Luke chapter 21, verse 5 through 12. Then, as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and donations, he said, "These things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." So they asked him, saying, "Teacher, but when will these things be, and what sign will there be when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "Take heed that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time is drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them, but when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately." And then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake." So, Father, I pray, Lord God, in a time, Lord God, where this world is just rocking, and Father God, there are wars and rumors of wars going on. We look at deception, Lord God, everywhere we look. And Father God, we see, Lord God, earthquakes and hurricanes and tornadoes. So many things, Lord God, that your word, Lord God, has described here. And I truly believe we are living in these last days before you come. I pray that you'd open up our hearts, that you'd wake up those who are asleep here this morning, Lord God. For those who will watch this program, Lord, worldwide, I pray, Lord God, that you would wake them up from their slumber. For much of the church is asleep, especially in this country. Wake us up, Lord God, that we, Lord God, would be watching and praying and about your business. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so you have here, in fact, if we look at verses 5 and 6, they're looking at the temple, they're seeing the beauty of the temple. They're looking and he's saying, "Look at these beautiful stones, look at these stones and all this beauty that was paid for by people's donations." Remember, Jesus right now is speaking words of condemnation concerning the temple, which was meant to be a house of prayer, which has been turned into a house of business. It is basically just abusing people, making it difficult for people to worship God. It has become a shopping center. And this widow comes in and she puts in her last $2. And Jesus looks at her, and again, that passage has been used for people to kind of twist the arms of people about giving, and it's not about Jesus looking at her and saying, "Hey, what a wonderful thing she's done." He's saying, basically, the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes and the Herodians had basically, they were extorting money from the poor to pay for their building and to put money in their pockets and pay for their palaces that they lived in. So Jesus basically speaks a word of condemnation. The temple is going to be destroyed. And that happened in 70 AD when Titus and the Roman legions went into Jerusalem. They destroyed Jerusalem. They destroyed the temple. Not one stone was left upon another. Just as Jesus had predicted, this is what the temple looks like today when you go there. We were just there last year standing in this very place taking pictures. Not one stone left upon another. The Jews were dispersed throughout the world. 1.2 million Jews were killed. And from there, the diaspora occurred, and Jewish people now are all over the world. Not until 1948, as the word of God predicted, the Jews have come back to Israel, and Israel is again a nation, which the Bible said would happen in the end times. They asked Jesus the question, saying, "Teacher, but when will these things be? When is this going to happen? And what sign will there be when these things are about to take place?" I want to shed light. I think when you study the scriptures and you're studying the gospels, it's important to see the different texts that deal with the same message that Jesus is giving, because if you go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, the question is, tell us when these things will be. Tell us when the temple is going to be destroyed. And again, with hindsight, we know that was in 70 AD. And what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age? So they're looking for signs. When you come back, what are the signs going to be? And in verses 8 through 11, he mentions six signs: deception, wars, and rumors of wars, commotions, earthquakes, famines, pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Now, these are called in Matthew 24:8 by the Lord birth pains, sorrows. Odin, the word is birth pains. And everyone in this room, again, you know when you had a baby, ladies, it starts off, right? You get the Braxton, right? Braxton Hicks, and they're just the minor dilations, and there's a little bit of discomfort. And as they progress, right? And boy, my wife was in labor with my daughter Chrissy for 32 hours. She spit Frankie out like you'd spit a watermelon pit out. She called me on the phone, said, the baby's coming. She drove herself to the hospital. I met her there. And just as I got in, I'm holding my son in my arms. It gets more and more and more intense until this is how it looks, right? And then the baby is born. And what happens? There it is. And that's exactly what the Lord is saying. There's going to come this massive tribulation on the earth. And then at the end, he returns, and we have what is called the millennial kingdom. And that is a time of peace, an unprecedented peace, and the lion will lie down with the lamb. And they will beat their spears into pruning hooks, and their swords, right, will be removed to plowshares. People will be in a time of peace, health. It is everything that I think we've longed for. And it's not going to come to the United Nations. It's going to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus, again, talks about birth pains. Let's just, I want to just give you something here. This will help you to understand the birth pains. You have what is called the Olivet Discourse. That is given to us in Matthew chapter 24. We're looking here at Luke chapter 21, okay, which is just, again, in harmony with the Olivet Discourse of Matthew chapter 24. And then there is a relationship here, and there's a harmony between the first six seals that are spoken of in Revelation 6. And basically what Jesus is talking about here, these six signs are spoken about in detail in Revelation chapter 6. So I just want to make that reference, because as we go through these six signs today, and I've covered three of them already, I'm going to give you a review of them. Realize there's just complete harmony between the book of the Revelation and Matthew chapter 24 and Luke chapter 21. So deception, right? He begins and he says, take heed that you not be deceived, for many are going to come in my name saying, I am he. The time is drawing near, therefore do not go after them. Great deception. We covered this last week, and we live in a world of tremendous deception. You have deception in the political realm. You have deception in the media. You have deception in the educational institutions. You have deception in the business world. You have deception in the churches. So in Revelation 6, when Jesus gives us this revelation and he begins to open the scroll, we have what are called the four horsemen of the apocalypse. The first horseman is riding a white horse. The Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say with a loud, with a voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. The white horse. What is the white horse? People look at this and say, well, is it Jesus? It's not Jesus. It's the Antichrist. That's the greatest final deception. And those who are not believers are going to follow him. And they will give allegiance to him. And they'll look at him as the great Messiah who's come to save the world. But he comes on a white horse, looking like he's come in peace, but he brings war with him, and he brings the spirit of conquering the human race. The second thing that we looked at last week, second sign, is wars and rumors of wars. And Luke chapter 21, verse 9 through 10, wars and commotions, nation will rise against nation. That's ethnikos. There will be wars. There will be rumors. There will be infighting within nations. And I showed you last week, if you look at the last, really, I'll tell you, the last 100 years, we are dealing with wars that the scale has just exploded. And I'm showing this. Everything goes from left to right on an upward incline. Yet 100 million people killed in wars last century. Most of us, we don't even bat an eye when thinking right now in Syria you had 500,000 people killed. You got a war going on in Mexico that most of us don't even realize. We have 160,000 people who have been killed in the drug war. 160,000 people just south of the border. But again, what does the scripture tell us? Wars, and when you go to the book of the Revelation, the second horseman is described as war. Revelation chapter 6, 3 and 4. And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come and see." Another horse, fiery red one, went out. And it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that the people should kill one another. And there was given him a great sword. So war. And rumors of wars. And have you heard any rumors of wars lately, besides the wars that are going on? And as I showed you last week, there's about 20 conflicts that are going on in the world. And just this morning, this was the headline when I opened up my computer this morning: why North Korea has a cultural and psychological advantage against the U.S. in nuclear warfare. Please read that carefully. It is a cultural and psychological advantage. Folks, let me just tell you something. Most of us realize what's going on right now with the United States and Korea. If most people realize right now what's going on, I think the churches would be filled, not only on a Wednesday night for people to pray, every day. If you realize what we're facing right now, a nuke hits New York, if you're still here, if you haven't been lit up, if you haven't got cancer from the radiation, think about this. I think the church should be on their knees right now all throughout the United States praying. Oh, you know what? We're so powerful, the United States. We're just going to light them up. And then they'll light up Seoul, Korea. We have a lot of Korean people, Filipino people in here with relatives in that area, in that part of the world. You know what happened? You'll have a million people dead if he unleashes his havoc on Seoul, Korea, not to mention Japan, the Philippines, Guam. Listen to this. Koreans are trained by propaganda and military service not to fear incredible hardships like nuclear war. They live in hardships. Have about a million people have been starved there by their leaders in the last 20 years. North Korean officials say their country could destroy the U.S., but they would survive because Pyongyang has many bunkers and shelters. They're actually prepared for nuclear war. We're not. Where are you going to go if there's a nuclear bomb? We have nowhere to go. You're going to go in your basement? U.S. citizens view their lives as comfort much more dearly, but the U.S. nuclear superiority limits North Korea's advantage to psychologically only. But just to look, we are right now, talk about a rumor of war, and this is, I'll tell you, when you look at it, it's frightening. Scripture is filled with messages. You trust in chariots and horses, and nations that have put their trust in chariots and horses, and a nation that's so filled with pride like the United States, we think we're untouchable. We should be on our knees praying. The third is cataclysmic events. And the word again is that we looked at, the word for great earthquakes in various places is seismos. And seismos means, it can mean a storm, a hurricane, a tornado, or an earthquake. It could mean a cyclone, a tsunami. And when Jesus calmed the storm in Matthew 8:24, and suddenly a great tempest, the word is seismos, wasn't talking about an earthquake there, it was talking about some type of a windstorm. But we are looking, again, I won't go into detail, we covered this last week, number of catastrophes that have occurred. And again, you see this graph that goes from left to right. When you look at geophysical events, meteorological events, hydrologic events, and climatological events, from left to right, we've seen this great increase in the world. And we're just seeing it right here in America with all the hurricanes just in these last weeks, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, wildfires, right? The West is on fire, the Midwest is in a flood, and the East is getting hit with hurricanes, not to mention the rest of the world. Number four is famines. And I'll tell you this, let me just show you this. This is the only sign that you will find is actually going from left to right on a decline. Luke chapter 21:11, and there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines. So we've actually seen less people dying of starvation in these last 50 years than we have in previous centuries. Now, right now, and this is the sobering news, 1 in 7 people in the world will go to bed hungry tonight. Undernourished world populations, most you will find in Africa and the Middle East. Now, I'll just say something here. Though there does seem to be, again, doing a better job at feeding the world, we know this, whenever a war occurs, you know, world of starvation, if you look at that graph there, notice, the central Africa here, but notice this country right here. What country is that? It's Syria. And people are starving to death in Syria. Why? Because there's been a war there. Most people in war die, believe it or not, of famine and starvation and disease than they do from bullets and bombs. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 6, verse 5 through 6, that the third horse that will ride forth says, when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand, and heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. What that's basically describing is, a loaf of bread is going to cost you a day's wages, 2 days' wages. Whenever war occurs, famine always precedes war. And from the previous, again, century, 53 million people died in the 20th century of famine. 53 million. That's incredible. You know, most of that was World War II. After World War II, there was no food. There was disease, there was hunger, and people died. In the Ukraine, estimates are 20 million people died alone. They were basically starved by Stalin in the Ukraine after World War II. So that is, again, that is a sign that is upon us. The fifth is pestilence. And the word in verse 11 there, and there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilences. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Now, the word there for pestilence is lomos, and it means plague or disease. Now, in the scriptures, this word here, lomos, in the Old Testament definition, a deadly plague, a disease that destroys, a disease that affects not only humans, but kills livestock, vegetation. The New Testament, a plague, a deadly infectious malady, and modern definition, a fatal epidemic or disease. Now, there are three types of pestilences. Pestilences that affect humans, pestilences that affect animal life, and pestilences that affect plant life. And we are seeing things right now. It's an interesting. There is an emerging, re-emerging, okay, infectious diseases in the world. So, you know, there's emerging AIDS, cholera, CJD, Ebola, influenza, and then re-emerging things that were actually seemed to be under control for a while, malaria, TB, other sicknesses. But something that I'll just tell you this, in my lifetime that has really caught my attention, all these terrible new diseases that we've never heard of before. I have people in the church coming up to me and saying, they've got this, we never heard that before. What is that? Now you immediately think of AIDS. And I had an uncle who was very close to me. He was one of the first people to die of AIDS in New York. When he got it, we didn't know what it was. We found him on the floor of his apartment, and it looked like he had been burned. All of his skin was, open sores, like he had been in a fire. You know where they took him? They took him to the burn center in Sloan Kettering. And then they wrapped him in the plastic and put him in this bubble because they were afraid of what he had. And the nurses and the doctors were afraid to go in. So the family had to go in and feed him. And we were wondering if we were going to get what he had. I mean, even to the point that we got blood on ourselves, which is a scary thing. The first five known cases of HIV in the United States reported in 1981, more than 1 million Americans have the virus today. That's a huge amount of expansion. Worldwide, globally, 33.4 million people are living with HIV/AIDS. 25 million have died since 1981. 97% of people with HIV live in developing and moderate income nations. 28.6 million people in poor and moderate income countries should be on the medications. Only one third of these people are getting this treatment, which means that it's totally open to be continue spreading. Another new one is Ebola. Remember Ebola last year? Everybody in America, we were being put into fear by the media that Ebola was coming to the United States. Remember Dr. Kent Brantley, who was there working with Samaritan's Purse, healing people, working to heal people, and he came back with it and he just terrified all of New York. And how about these diseases? I know some of you suffer from some of these things. Epstein-Barr virus. We never heard of that before. Go back in the 70s and the 80s, that was unheard of. Chronic fatigue syndrome. Look at the mosquito-borne diseases, right? Look here, I've heard of malaria, heard of yellow fever, but now you've got Zika, you've got West Nile. How about STDs, sexually transmitted diseases? When I was growing up, there were two, right? You remember the two? Gonorrhea and syphilis, right? You know how many there are now? Take a guess. Over 200. If that doesn't tell you that God had a plan to keep us from premarital sex and adultery and homosexuality, I don't know what word. 19 million plus number of new cases of STD, sexually transmitted diseases, in the U.S. each year. I saw a study that said that 1/3 of sexually active people were carrying an STD. That's incredible. That's just incredible. And if that doesn't wake you up, people, from, hey, have it with your spouse and keep it in the family just to protect you. I don't know about you, I'm a germaphobe. And I am very motivated by that. I am very motivated. I'm telling you. 200 of them. $500 million infected with an STD worldwide. World Health Organization says that. And you look at the effects on animals. Remember bird flu? Birds get this disease, they fly around, the mosquitoes bite them, they eat the mosquitoes, and then they go out and they pass it on to the animals, they pass it on to humans, they pass it on to our dogs. Now let me just do something here. I'm going to beat a dead horse. What I want you to do is just say whoa for a second with me, and just put your brakes and just stop here for a second, because I want to show you something. And this is tough. I've watched some people preach prophecy messages, and they're like all pumped up, people are going to be killed. Where's your heart? Where's your heart? There's nothing glorious about this. So the human race have decided that they're going to give themselves over completely to Satan, and Satan, the murderer, is just playing havoc amongst humans who are creating the image and likeness of God, who Christ died for on the cross to save them and values them. We'll just put on the brakes here for a second. We have wars, famines follow wars, and disease, pestilence follows wars. What comes after that? Right? The Grim Reaper, right? I want to show you this. 203 million have died of war and genocide and famine together in the 20th century. 203 million people. That's a lot of folks. That's 1/3 of the population of the United States of America. Now watch what the scripture says. In Revelation chapter 6, 7 and 8, when he opened the fourth seal, right? Who's coming? Death. I heard the voice of the four living creatures saying, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death. And Hades followed with him, and the power was given to them over a fourth of the earth, to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. 1/4 of the earth's population, it's saying, well, what? Will die. If you take the earth's population right now, 2017, that's 7.6 billion people. If you take what the prophecy is saying there, 1/4 of the population of 7.6 billion, that's 1.9 billion people. 1.9, almost 2 billion people will die during this tribulation period. That leaves 5.7 billion people. Watch the prophecies. Revelation chapter 9, 17 and 18. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, 1/3 of mankind was killed by the fire, the smoke, and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. Now, you have 5.7 billion people left after 1/4 are killed. Now you have 1/3 of the 5.7. That leaves 3.8 billion people. Half of the earth's population is wiped out during the tribulation. Half the earth's population. So again, we have a hard time measuring that and thinking on that. Syria, just the last couple of years, 500,000 killed. Mexico, 160,000 killed in a drug war that you don't even hear about. How about Chicago? about 5,000 killed in the last 2 years, and many of them little children had nothing to do with the gang wars. 1/3 of all killed in Chicago are the innocent. A lot of little children in their beds who get a bullet through their head because the gangbangers are playing games outside. You know what the gangbangers do? They go and they recruit 13-year-old boys. They get them hooked on crack and heroin. And then they send them out as their hitmen. And 13-year-old boys are the ones who are going out shooting up the other gangs. A 13-year-old kid on drugs with a gun. That's what these gangbangers are doing. And again, all of this, to many of us, it just, does it affect your heart? In the Holocaust, 1/3 of all Jews were killed. Zechariah chapter 13, 7 and 9 tells us that there is another Holocaust coming. The Antichrist will bring a massive persecution against the Jewish people. Listen to what it says. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Then I will turn my hand against the little ones. And it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that 2/3 in it shall be cut off and die, but 1/3 shall be left in it. You know what that's saying? The next Holocaust will take 2/3 of all Jews in the world. Now, if you're sitting there, you're wondering, right, what's going on here? The scriptures teach us that, right, who's the ruler of this world? He is the prince and the power of the air. He's the God of this age. It's Jesus, again, three times mentioned in the Gospel of John. But he is, at this point, cast out of heaven, according to Revelation chapter 12, 9, the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. And how does he work? He works through people, just as God works through us. And either God is working through you or the devil's working through you. But he will come and he will work through mankind. And mankind is prepared right now to basically burn up the earth 30 times over. I don't know if you realize that. If you take nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons, we have enough to kill everybody on earth 30 times. Look at this chart. These are all the world's nukes. We've got plenty of them. You know what it tells us? It tells us that Revelation chapter 6, 12, and I won't go into great detail about this, though, that the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. When the sky recedes like a scroll, what is that? What do we have here in the 20th century, 21st century, that even remotely reflects upon the sky receding like a scroll? And people say, volcano. Let me tell you, it ain't the same. It ain't the same. Right? We have enough nukes to burn up this planet over and over and over again. Look. Oh man, I got no. There you go. Was John seeing that when God gave him this vision of the future? Very sobering, right? Wake you up where we're facing right now in this world. Number 6, fearful sights and great signs from heaven. So in chapter 21, verse 11, fearful sights and great signs from heaven. The word there for heaven is oros. And oros can mean basically one of three things or completely three things. First of all, the heavens meaning the atmosphere around the earth. So there will be signs in the atmosphere around the earth. It can secondly mean the universe, our galaxy, our solar system, and our universe. And then thirdly, it can mean the realm, that other dimension that God dwells in. Now, I just want you to stop. Great signs will create huge amount of fright as people look up. That's essentially what it's saying. Where were you when the Challenger blew up? You remember? I know exactly where I was. I was in my health club coming around the corner. I was in health club business back then, coming around the corner when the Challenger blew up, and somebody said, did you know the Challenger blew up? Bang. Where were you, right, when you were looking up on that morning on 9/11? You remember where you were? I was just about to squat 315 pounds for sets of 10. When all of a sudden I heard on the radio that a plane crashed into the building, and I figured, oh, some knucklehead was flying his little Cessna around the buzzing around the World Trade Center, and then a few minutes later I heard that it was a big airliner, and then a few minutes later I heard that there was another one, and I immediately knew. How about this one? How many of you remember this? Flight 800, TWA Flight 800. You remember this? Right off the coast of Long Island. And I don't know if you remember it, but it looked like a missile went up and hit it. I'll tell you. And James Kalsnan from the FBI is the one who investigated. He swears that's not what happened. But all I can tell you is it looked like, when I saw it, it looked like a rocket went up and hit it. How about Malaysia? Flight 370. Whatever happened to that plane? They find nothing. Nothing. How about this? How many of you remember this? Mysterious missile lights up the sky over the Pacific, right off the coast of Los Angeles. Anybody remember that? I remember it. And I remember the cover-up. The government came up and said, no, it was a jet. I've never seen a jet look like that. And then all the military people from around the world who weren't in the United States military came out and they said, that ain't no jet, that's a missile that has been launched by a submarine. You have to watch all the cover-up that's on the internet as they try to, you know, put out all their propaganda. You know what the belief is that this was? A Korean, a North Korean, or a Chinese sub that decided to release a weapon, right? An intercontinental ballistic missile from the sub, just to tell the United States, we're right off your coast. How about this one? This was over Los Angeles. In fact, you can get on, you watch it on YouTube. The media actually was covering it as it flew over L.A. I want you to look at this thing. So people say, UFO. All I can tell you is the U.S. government came out and said it was an intercontinental ballistic missile that they decided to launch over Los Angeles. Now, I don't know what it was, but if that's what it was, what are you doing shooting an intercontinental ballistic missile over a city? I don't know about you, but that's a little odd. If you look up, you'll see, again, there's as many signs going on. I'll try to be as careful as I can with what I'll show you here, because there is a lot of kooky Photoshop stuff on the internet. But take a look at this one. Again, is it just some type of natural phenomena? Or do I need a lot of imagination to say that looks like some type of an angelic being? How about this one? Are these little warning signs that God is giving us? Here's another one. Look at this. Here's another manifestation. A cloudless day. And all of a sudden that appears. A lot of things going on, right, in our atmosphere around us. How about this? How many of you heard of this? The sound of trumpets going on all over the world. All over the world. And they don't understand. The scientists don't know what's causing this. But in different parts of the world, all over the world, these sirens are going off. This is just a family. I think this is in South America. Either the kid next door, he's a really bad trumpet player, or there's something going on in the heavens, right?
Well, you guys look at that, huh?
Right.
Oh, yo, man, that shit was good.
Look it up. Research it for yourself. Look at this. These are called chemtrails. And if you were looking up yesterday, you see them all over the New York metropolitan area. And by the way, a chemtrail, if you look on the left, and then you have what's called a contrail. Chemtrail is a chemical trail. A contrail is a condensation trail. When a plane is flying and it basically is just simply leaving condensation, you see a contrail again on the left there. The chemtrail leaves this wide cloud that just continuously expands. This is, a picture here. The chemtrail is persistent. The contrail is non-persistent. Condensation, it evaporates very quickly. This is a plane that is leaving a contrail. Folks, I don't know if you've been around airports. That's not normal. You see that? Joe Sullivan was sitting, came up to me last week. Joe's a pilot. He's sitting right here today. He goes, Frank, look what's going on up there. And I think Joe had, you know, he flies. He's looking up. He's aware of the atmosphere around him. I said, I'm very aware of the atmosphere around me. I spend time looking up. And I see this happening all over the metro area. This is what the sky looked like yesterday. It was a perfectly clear day in the morning. And then these jets flew over. This is the process. This is what happened yesterday. Before, during, all of a sudden you see this, it looks like a tic-tac-toe board up in the sky, and then after. Now, the scientists and the government has been denying this, just saying, no, you people are just ignorant. They're contrails, condensation trails, not chemtrails. But now they've come out and they've admitted that they are chemtrails. In fact, I'll show you. This is the head, okay, of the CIA, John Brennan, under the Obama administration, and he admits it.
Another example is the array of technologies, often referred to collectively as geoengineering, that potentially could help reverse the warming effects of global climate change. One that has gained my personal attention is stratospheric aerosol injection, or SAI, a method of seeding the stratosphere with particles that can help reflect the sun's heat in much the same way that...
Listen, do you understand? They shoot out this aerosol. It's got aluminum in it, it's got barium in it, and it's got strontium in it. And what it does is, he's saying that it reflects the sunlight, okay, back to the sun, so that the earth is not warming. The problem is that aluminum, barium, and strontium are toxic, and eventually they're coming down and we're breathing them in. Now, I look, there's a lot of people who feel that they're just intentionally killing us. And there's a lot of other people who say, no, it's just them trying to control the weather. Needless to say, that's what he's saying here. He's the head of the CIA. So it's not in denial anymore. You got a female senator, a female congresswoman from Arizona who's come out, and she's come under tremendous attack by saying that it's very destructive to the human race and to our plants. But there's stuff, look, folks, you just look, there's stuff going on right in our atmosphere that's really strange stuff. Some of the stuff that is unexplainable, some of the stuff that can be explainable. But I think there's sights. I don't know about you, that when I was looking up at the sky yesterday, and I'm sitting with my grandson, and we're hanging out in the pool, okay? He and I, we go in the pool when it's like 48 degrees, man, he's as tough as nails, that kid. heated up the spa. And I'm just looking up, and I'm looking at this, and I'm watching these planes going, and I'm seeing the sky get just like this weird yellow color. I never saw that before the 1990s. Something going on. But there's stuff going on. I think stuff that makes you a little fearful. Okay. So you got, first, our atmosphere. Secondly, you've got the solar system, the galaxy. And just some things, some fearful sights, again. If you look at the moon, what are all those things on the moon? It's got some zits, right? It had some bad zits on its face. Impact. There was something that impacted. But most of us don't realize, if you look at the Earth, these are all the places of impact that we've identified, right, that have occurred through creation. One of them, and this is probably one of the largest, it is, if I say it right, Chicxulub, and it's down in the Yucatan Peninsula. They believe this is what caused the ice age. This is a crater, the Barringer crater in Arizona. 2 years ago, the Russians got freaked out when this comet came buzzing across their sky and crashed in Russia. There was another comet that crashed in Russia. This is not the same one, but this happened in 2012 that left a crater that size. You know what the scripture tells us? The scripture tells us, Revelation 8, 10, and 11. Then a third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water, and the name of the star was Wormwood. That means bitter. And a third of the waters became wormwood, and many died from the water because it was made bitter. But there's stuff going on out there. And then you have the heavenly realms. Heavenly realms. The spiritual realm. That's beyond our four-dimensional universe. Now, I want to... Are you all listening to me? Please watch. Look at me now. You have to watch me carefully here. Okay? You need to read my... You know, read my lips. You need to read my lips. I do not believe in extraterrestrials. I do not believe in ETs. I do not believe in little green men that have come from Mars. Do you hear me? I do believe in extra dimensionals. Spirit beings from other dimensions, angels and demons. Tells us Satan has an army of demons. Principalities, powers, rulers. He's got generals, he's got colonels, he's got lieutenants, and he's got foot soldiers. And his goal is deception and murder. So let me just say it again. I do not believe in ETs, because whenever I've taught on this, I've had people leave the church saying, oh, Pastor Frank believes in little green men from Mars. No! Listen! You're not listening. Standardized scores for internet access, smartphone adoption, and UFO sightings by year in the U.S., 1994 to 2016, there has been a massive increase in people who are seeing UFOs, unidentified flying objects. Here's another chart. Since 1970, again, I noticed people of religious and non-religious preference, it ranges the same. Now, you have presidents who have claimed to have seen UFOs. Jimmy Carter reports on a UFO sighting that occurred in October of 1969. Reagan has said the same thing. You have pilots, commercial and fighter pilots, who have claimed to have seen UFOs. This situation here, spot a mile-wide UFO. You know what happens? You know what happens when you're a pilot and you come out of the closet and say that you saw a UFO? You're a fighter pilot, you know what they're going to do with you? They're going to send you for psychological evaluation. If you're a commercial pilot, you know what? I don't think you're going to be flying. These people put their career on the line when they come out and they say that they've seen an unidentified flying object. Here is an astronaut, Leroy Chiu. And in 2005, he claimed that he saw a UFO while he was up there. This is Buzz Aldrin. He says he reported that he saw UFOs on the moon. Buzz is all over the place talking about this stuff. Air traffic controllers who claim that they see this UFO here, and suddenly in a matter of seconds, it's 100 miles away over here, and then suddenly 75 miles over away here, violating all the laws of physics, making right-hand turns that would basically be physically impossible without the ship burning up. You have pictures that have been taken. Many of them, again, are fabricated. Many of them are Photoshopped. These are pictures that I believe are authentic, that people have taken pictures of. What I believe these things are these are some type of angelic manifestation. And they're popping in and out. They're not limited to our four-dimensional universe. They can pop in and out at their own will. And this is what I believe people are seeing. Now I want to show you this one. This one, I believe this is something that is truly supernatural, and this is what is called, they call it the UFO, the angel over Jerusalem. I want you to notice this, and the people are speaking Hebrew here. So if anybody speaks Hebrew and you hear a curse word, listen, I want to just free myself from any, because it does sound like she says something that could be a curse word. Does anybody speak Hebrew in here? Good, so I shouldn't have even said that. I want you to notice, though, this thing and how it accelerates, because as far as I know, we do not have anything that could move through space and time as fast as this thing moves. And it seems to just move right out of existence. Watch this.
אתה מצלם?
Right over the Temple Mount.
אתה רואה?
אני רואה, מה זה?
Just notice the amount of light that it's radiating.
לא, לא, כולנו רואים את זה.
מה זה?
חמישה עיניים.
שיו!
יו! רוד, בלם!
מה זה? מה זה, אמא?
Pretty wild. These things have been seen over the Temple Mount. In fact, you go online, and again, YouTube, but just be careful again, because there's a lot of fabrication. But there's this one was taken at multiple different angles by different people. And it's there, and then suddenly it's gone. I believe it's some type of angelic being. But these, again, the Lord said that we'd be seeing things. You know what? Before 1948, now look, with the internet, with television, with the media, there's a lot of things that go around and people are aware of more things now. But before 1948, you have a very limited record of any of these things happening. What happened in 1948? Israel became a nation. Somebody just said Roswell. I think there might be a connection there. That something very demonic happened at Roswell, but Israel became a nation. That set the whole prophetic scenario was set in pace when that happened. So here's our conclusion. So yeah, you get a little disturbed today, right? You're not going to go out and have that big lunch. Maybe you have a small lunch, and your stomach is a little end times birth pains. One thing, the thing that this thing should do for us is make us rapture ready. Because I believe that the Lord promised that He will take us out before the tribulation happens. I believe that. We don't have to go through the tribulation period. We'll look at that more in detail in upcoming weeks. But He's made that promise. And by the way, children, somebody emailed me this week. I think maybe somebody who was attending here last week. I don't know who the person was. I don't know. I didn't recognize their name. And they asked me, will the children be taken? Of course they will. In fact, I believe the children of unbelievers will be taken because they're in a state of innocency. So the little children who have from the atheist family and the agnostic family and the Buddhist family and the Jewish family, I believe they're all going to be taken. I believe that's what's going to cause such a tremendous uproar and havoc on earth. And the Antichrist then he steps right in and says, I have the answer. Follow me. But to be rapture ready. It tells us in Matthew 24:44, therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Like just now today, how many of you woke up today thinking, hey, you know what? The Lord's coming today. The Lord could come today. Hey, you know what? He's about to come. Most of you didn't. Well, nobody's ready. He's going to come. In Titus chapter 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. It's a blessed hope. An entire generation of people who will not die physical deaths. That's kind of cool. 1 Thessalonians 5:2, the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Right? People are not suspecting. Right? The thief doesn't come and knock on the door and say, hey, Frank, I'm going to come in and rob your house. Right? If he does that, what's going to happen? The thief comes in and he sneaks in when you're not expecting him. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:3, whenever it is that they are saying peace and security, then suddenly destruction is to be instantly upon them, just as the pang of distress upon a pregnant woman, and they will by no means escape. By the way, that's talking about unbelievers. They're not aware of the signs. We are aware of the signs. And this is the time Jesus said, watch and pray. Become serious about your faith. If anything, you know, again, what was said last week and what I've said this week and what the Word really teaches us, it's a time for you just to stop and say, look at yourself. Are there areas of your life that you need to change? Are there things that you're doing that you need to stop doing today? Are there things you need to repent of? are the things where the devil has gotten a little foothold in your life, and you need, you know, maybe you need to come to the altar and leave it here today. Are there things that you're not doing that you need to start doing? Maybe things that you just know you should be doing and you're not doing it. Are there things in your life you need to be doing more of? More prayer, more word, more witnessing, more living for Christ? And are there things in your life you need to be doing less of? Those are four very powerful questions to ask yourself today. But take a deep look at yourself. He may be coming tomorrow. And if you're not prepared to meet him, listen, I'm going to cover this next week. You're going to be left here. And I think, because the scriptures teach that during the tribulation, there are going to be many believers, many people that come to faith in Jesus Christ. And they're going to be martyred. They're going to be killed for their faith, slaughtered by the Antichrist and his armies. It's going to be a tough time to be living on earth. But I do believe that many of those people that are become believers during the tribulation, they're in churches like this. And they're hearing messages like this. But they're not making their commitment to be a follower of Jesus Christ. They're not making the commitment to be a follower of Jesus Christ. They are not making the commitment to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And they're going to be left. But when they're left, and all their friends are gone, and their family members are gone, they're going to say, I remember that. I remember being in that church. I remember that passage where the Lord said he was going to come and he was going to snatch out his people from the earth before all hell breaks loose. And then they're going to commit their life to Jesus. But then they're going to have to go through the tribulation. I don't want to go through the tribulation. I'm a sissy. When I look at that, man, I don't want to go through that. I don't want to go through that. I don't. And I believe that is the blessed hope that the Lord has given us, that if we are right with him when he comes, he's going to take us with us. So if you're not, if you have not given your life to Jesus, do that this morning. Make a commitment to take him into your life, to make him the Lord of your life, the King of your life, your Savior. Commit yourself to following him. And if you need to look at your life today and just get a little more serious, or a lot more serious, do that before you leave. Let's pray together. Father.
Great day in history. Let this be, you have rescued me. Sing it out. Jesus is alive. Happy day when you wash my sins away. Oh. Down every ocean road.